People, welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show, the place where we highlight successful individuals with roots and or associations from the Dutch Caribbean Islands, aka the Dutch Kingdom. These accomplished individuals are prime role models and examples of what can be achieved when you combine hard work, perseverance, and mighty focus. I'm your host, John Sandiford, aka Jam Sandiford. And today we are getting into our very first episode, guys. I am super, super excited. We recorded this back in St. Martin when I was there last year for the Smile event, which is coming up again, with the wonderful Ife Badajo. Shout out to DVDV Hotels because they gave us this beautiful location. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. Please subscribe and stay up to date with all that's coming because we have a lot in store for season one of the Sunside Kingdom Show. Let's get into today's episode. People,
welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show.
Right now, I have with me for the very first episode one of my favorite islandpreneurs, one of my favorite persons on the island when it comes to the entrepreneurial spirit, fully embodies it from head to toe, always does it amazingly beautiful. So you see, I had to repeat that whole thing to give it a better intro. Miss Ife Badajo.
Thank you. I need you on the road with me everywhere I go. I need you to do that over and over and over again. No, it is a true honor to be here. Congratulations with Sunside Kingdom. It's really important that we continue to do these kinds of things and be in this kind of a space where we reach millions of people around the world and letting them know about islands and about the sun side of life and about the kingdom and our allies and our friends. And I'm just honored to be here and to be your first interviewee like that. I'm still in shock.
So for the folks that may not know you, since it's a sunny side of the kingdom, mm-hmm. there's also listeners, hopefully from Curaçao, mm-hmm. Aruba, Bonaire. We'll even invite the guys from Suriname and definitely mm-hmm. the whole diaspora that lives in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. And in the U.S., we have diaspora all over the world.
All over the world. Yeah, also in the U.S., you know. England, wherever you are, tune in, listening, it's going down. So please introduce yourself. So what do you do and what really keeps you busy on a daily basis?
That's a very good question, John. Who am I? I am Ife Badajo, born and raised on the beautiful island of St. Martin. I went to school for a little period in the US and then after that in the Netherlands. I have an honorary PhD in humanities for the work that I do when it comes to island entrepreneurship. And so I've coined that phrase islandpreneur, which seems to roll off everybody's tongue so nicely. I get excited about it. And I'm passionate about helping people fulfill purpose through entrepreneurship and innovation. And on a bigger scale, I believe that I can impact social change and have an impact on economic growth through entrepreneurship and innovation development. So I work both on macro level as well as micro level.
And I love the word that you use, purpose, in there, because it is one of our favorite words.
Yes.
And as we're interviewing persons from the sunny side of the kingdom, we also really want to know how far along are you in connecting to purpose when you're looking specifically at your own purpose?
Ooh, John, we're going deep. They're supposed to call Seaside Kingdom. You just dove deep into the waters. Everything I do is about purpose. I believe in a higher power. I believe in a most divine power. And I believe that that power has created me, you, everything in between. And that our job is to express that divine, that divinity in the highest self in a way that we make life easier for people, in a way that we help people to go through life and find their own purpose, in a way that we make a difference and leave the world in a better place than we met it. And so purpose is inextricable to everything that I do. How close am I in fulfilling it? I try to do it every day. On some days, I'm better than on others, if I'm honest.
Also familiar.
On some days I'm knocking it out the park. On some days or weeks, I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? But I'm grateful for the people around me that helped me to stay focused on purpose. You're one of them. You know, you've challenged me as well. But people like Dr. Alicia Liverpool and my mom, my dad, Leslie Samuel, these are some people that are in my circle that make me realize that it's really not about the money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's not about the material things and a nice car and a nice house. I mean, I'm a little spoiled. I live on St. Martin, you know, and I'm sure you're going to show them what it looks like exactly.
Look at that every day.
I could see that already. My mom is...
Wait, key to B-roll.
I know, right? My mom is usually swimming here on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. And so I'm a bit spoiled in that way, and I understand that. But to your point about purpose and how close am I to it, everything that I do, I try to make sure that I'm staying as close to fulfilling purpose as possible, because that's the way that you get to all of the wonderful things.
Yeah. And it's so funny that, throughout the years, we built a certain connection. And mm-hmm. I'm even seeing it in my questions, because as I ask you one question, then you're already keying up part of the next question. Because my next question is actually, if money wasn't an issue, so if you did not have to worry about money at all, what would you be doing specifically? So get into a bit of those details. And if you need to take a moment and we zen and think about it, process it, and then let it flow.
I would be doing a lot of what I'm doing now. I kind of purposely threw myself into the deep end.
Yeah.
Because I know who I am, in the way that I know if I focus on money and make that the top priority, then I will negate relationships. And I didn't want, and it doesn't mean that I haven't messed up on relationships or made some mistakes, but for me, it's important that that is not the goal, right? But what I would be doing more of is more things like this. I'm a media junkie. I would be doing more YouTube videos and more podcasting, and I would be building out this media studio thing, and I'd be doing more media type stuff. And so even with Islandpreneur, I made a decision early on this year or late last year that is what I'm so passionate about and I'm so attracted to dive deeper into that within Islandpreneur and make it more like a media sassy type of a expression. definitely I would be doing more of what I'm doing now. That includes coaching, training, organizing events, but also a lot more of the media stuff. And that also includes speaking gigs and different things like that. I'm just, if it has to do with media, I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Amazing.
Does that surprise you?
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay. Just check it.
No, it doesn't surprise
me. I didn't mean to flip the interview, but yeah.
But it's also for those out there that haven't had those deep one-on-one conversations with you. Yeah. And that's why I feel like now we need to have one of those conversations with the cameras on and a bit of the lights
just,
on.
You know, have them invited into our conversation. Why
exactly,
not?
Exactly. So being an islander, an islandpreneur.
Yes, sir.
How does your Caribbean background influence your way of doing business?
That's a brilliant question. And I'll tell you why. A few years ago, I brought you down. Dr. Will Moreland, Dr. Vernette Joseph, Henneke Watkins Porter, and a few others for Dominate 360. And
great event, by the way.
Thank you. And that year we also went to Anguilla because it was during Global Entrepreneurship Week and we did some things in Anguilla. And I was so nervous to be on the same stage with Dr. Will Moreland and Dr. Vernette Joseph because I'm looking at these American powerhouses just deliver and knock it out the park, and they're so amazing in their own right. And I felt like, yo, how do I add value, right? I just an island girl, what are you doing here? And they told me, no, bring you, you know, be you. And you've told me that too in the past. And so when I started to do more of my Caribbean flavor, when I started to bring my Caribbean style to things, that's when it was out of the park. That's when people were like, yo, what is this? We need more of this in our lives. That's when I started to attract so many different people from all over the world, because they were like, what is it?
It's different.
It's different. And so my job now is to be different, do different, speak different, and just embrace my difference. And my difference, even though we're both from the islands, my difference is still different than your different.
Yeah.
Right? So my difference has a little bit of African in it. Like, my father's from Nigeria. Uh-huh. My difference has Latino in it. My grandfather's from Dominican Republic.
Oh, wow.
My difference has...
I didn't know that detail.
Yeah. My difference has French and Dutch, and it has island. It's a potpourri of different things. And so when I started to embrace that, like rock and short hair, or, you know, like different things, small little things, then it changed the game. And that's actually where Islandpreneur was born. And Islandpreneur is my greatest accomplishment and baby yet.
In the future, I might have the sound effects of Buster
Crappy. I know, right?
We're working on that one still.
I know, right?
We'll do it in post.
You remember Cherise? You had to get a clap on.
Yeah. Amazing. So, Ife.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine on that chair right there, probably the viewers at home can't see it.
Yeah.
But on that chair is 18-year-old Ife.
Hmm.
Sitting down listening to present day Ife.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty amazed. She's in awe.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, she's like, I don't see how I would become her. What advice would you give 18-year-old Ife?
That's a good question. Can I flip that a little bit?
Go ahead.
When I was 18, I got certified as a youth entrepreneurship trainer in Miami, Florida. And I did this whole intensive week training. And at the end of it, this 8-year-old walks in with a suit and two young ladies, 7 and 6, with their uniforms. And he does a pitch of 90 seconds exactly. He shows his advertisement. He's talking about his lemon stand franchise that he wants to beast out in Florida. And he's talking about everything, the supply chain, profit margins, like everything.
An eight-year-old.
Damn. Beasting it out. I am not making up this story. This is a true thing, okay? I have witnesses and they're still alive. So it's a true thing. And I looked at that 8-year-old and thought to myself, what in the world have I been doing for the past 10 years of my life? Because this 8-year-old is killing it. And so every now and then I think about my 18-year-old self, and she reminds me why I do what it is that I do. And so she oftentimes gives me advice.
Oh, okay.
She oftentimes tells me to stay true to who I am. And that's where I started, and that's what I want to accomplish. What I would tell her, though, is it's okay not only to dream, but it's okay to do it afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've let fear talk me out of many things that faith was trying to talk me into. And so...
Preach.
I know, right? And so I would tell her it's okay to do it afraid. That it's... that no matter how I feel, I can do it. And oftentimes I have to remind myself, no matter how I feel, I could be tired, I could be depressed, I could be angry, I could be emotional, I could be happy.
Yeah.
And just think, oh, this is a day off. No, it ain't. We're not there yet.
It's time to work.
It's still time to work. And on the times where I have messed up or dropped the ball and I have to pick myself back up again, I still need to remind myself that I can do it. And so I would tell her that no matter how you feel, you could do it. But she often reminds me that of why I'm doing it.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So if we segue into that theme of the sun, sunny side of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a topic that I'm not sure exactly how I want to tread with this.
Uh-oh. I thought you went deep. No, this look like shark waters. We got some sharks in the water. Some barracudas.
Throw the chum. But in order for those islandpreneurs out there to really be able to be successful and flourish to the best of their abilities, what are some of the challenges that you see in on this specific island of the sunny side of the kingdom that you would love to be, you would love to see solved within the next 5 years? And the list might be long, so let's just pick two.
First thing that comes to mind that needed to be solved 5 years ago would be digital payments. We live in the 21st century. 5 years ago in January, I said if small businesses don't have access to digital payments, they would die. It was a big news article. That was 2017 January.
I remember, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
2017 September, St. Martin encountered Hurricane Irma with more than $2.86 billion of damage and 95% plus of damages and losses.
Wow.
I lost my home. I had to leave the island. My father lost his home. It's still not rebuilt. When you look at things, eye level, everything looks good. But if you go up on a hill, you're going to start to see more tarpaulins than you thought would still be there.
Yeah.
Right? And it's been a process. And as we were cleaning up and moving forward, and you know, our brothers and sisters over on the other side of the pond, they rallied, you rallied, several people rallied to help support. I remember when I went to The Hague a few years ago, there's a big sign at Den Haag Central saying 300 kilometers plus. That was the speed of Hurricane Irma.
Yeah.
And so a few years, as we're getting back on track, and everybody feels like, oh, okay, we come through that. Then, of course, you know, in true historic fashion, there's a global pandemic that happens every 100 years or so.
But it happens 2 years after the most devastating hurricane in the history of St. Martin.
Exactly. And in those two instances, what I saw was the struggle to survive because the market is so small,
yeah,
because your brothers and sisters are also hurting and they too don't have the resources to pay for your services or for your goods. But at the same time, people wanting to support, they wanted to buy, they wanted to, and they couldn't,
yeah,
because we don't have online payments. We don't,
the infrastructure is not there.
Has there been progress? Yes. Central Bank has put together some legislation. Instant payments are now in operation, although not all banks are fully signed on to it.
Okay.
So we've made some progress. But when I say online payments, I'm talking about what the world is accustomed to.
Yeah.
Things like PayPal, things like Stripe, things like Cash App, Venmo, Numerop.
Yeah. There's for those in Holland, it would be like something similar to an ID.
Exactly.
To what's the WhatsApp? Tiki.
Yes. And there's a whole long list of them coming from Europe, coming from Asia, coming from Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole long list. And I've tested actually more than 100 payment processors and I've encountered the same problem over and over and over again over the years. And so,
what's at the core of that problem?
Twofold. One is St. Martin needs to look like an attractive market,
okay,
for many of these payment processes. I think it is because of the number of transactions that just happen in this place. It's a $2 billion economy. That's the GDP, roughly. It's now about 1.7, okay?
Yeah.
But in addition to that, though the central bank has helped to move things along, I think a lot of banks see, at least, and this is my analysis just based on the way that they operate, I think a lot of banks see payment processors as either competition or only for big companies.
Mm.
But when your economy is 89.8% small businesses, and when small businesses can make millions online, the online, the digital economy has grown from a $2.9 trillion US dollar economy in 2019 to, in the first quarter of 2020, a 11.9 trillion dollar economy.
Wow.
And recently when I looked at the stats, it was 14 trillion. That's 12 zeros after that 14.
Yep.
I don't even need 1%.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm
0.1%
saying?
0.1% is also fine.
0.1% will do just fine. And so I think.
But essentially, once you don't have those payment rails and infrastructure in place, then you can't even play the game.
No. And then when we look at St. Martin and some of the other islands, also in the Dutch kingdom, they say, yeah, but we're a tourist economy. But how does the tourism, how does the tourist shop?
Yeah.
Who is the new tourist? What are they looking for? How do they want to engage? They don't want to walk around with cash.
Definitely.
They don't want to have to deal with exorbitant bank transfer fees.
Nope.
They want to be able to tap and go. They want to pay in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Many, also those that are staying here for a week or two maybe may not be the right kind of tourist to throw our investments in. I mean, we appreciate every tourist that comes to the island, but there's the digital nomads and the remote workers that want to live in this sun sea on the sunny side of the kingdom, right? And they just don't have the infrastructure, internet-wise, payment-wise, and also tax-wise, because for many of them, there's a tax implication as well for staying long periods away.
Yeah.
So digital payments is numero uno. And I have been talking about that for the past 5 years. I'm not done yet. I'm going to solve that problem. I found some loopholes in the system.
Great.
And there are also things like Bitcoin Cash, which I see popping up more and more on the island.
Yeah.
So there is a movement towards it. People see the importance, but I think that we need to work more collectively.
Mm.
And I think that also includes having the discussion with those, because the Netherlands is a very advanced technological country.
For sure.
And so having the conversation with them on how we can foster this in a way that is compliant, in a way that makes it safe financially, in a way that we're not attracting, you know, terrorists and pedophiles. They've gone through that.
Yeah.
And so we could leapfrog and learn from them. So numero uno problem is that. And connected to that would be shipping, but shipping right now is a global problem.
Yeah, that's a global problem.
Shipping right now is a real global problem. So that, I can't even touch shipping.
Yeah, that maybe used to be a tad bit of a local problem when it comes to the smaller items, because I think the larger items in bulk always went pretty well.
And when I say shipping, I'm talking about export.
Oh, okay.
Specifically.
Oh, yeah.
We are good at bringing in everything.
Yeah.
Shipping it out is another story.
Yeah.
So, because if you're looking at e-commerce, if you're looking at digital economy, how do you ship out your shirt, your art piece, your, you know, music stuff? I mean, for digital products and services, that might be simpler, but still.
And even that is not always the simplest.
No, not at all. I was looking at something from Y Combinator, and they were looking at business models and the kind of stuff they were talking about. I'm like, ooh, we don't have no kind of infrastructure compared to this. But what I appreciate, though, of my islandpreneurs, and I see it especially on St. Martin, but throughout the region, is that we are relentless.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the magic sauce.
Yeah.
We will find a way and make a way. And so I see a lot more businesses on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. There's a girl that I know who was in one of my micro entrepreneurship programs. She had 15,000 viewers on TikTok, and she's teacher, how do I monetize this? Because yes, I'm baking cakes, but this is where it's at. And so for those people, being able to have an opportunity to get paid in a very simple way, makes the difference for them. For those that have a different skill set or have more advanced skill set, then they could have the conversation with bigger companies on how to get the wire transfer, right?
Yeah.
But if the cost of sending money, transferring money, is $20 on my side and $20 on your side, then the product has to be at least $50. Who's paying $50 for a t-shirt? Unless you have the kind of brand that commands that.
Yeah.
So those are some of the challenges right now. I went on a rampage, but
no, I think it's definitely good for us to also put those things on the table, and for maybe some of the viewers that aren't really aware of what those challenges are.
This is my camera here, right?
Yeah, that's your camera.
So if you are a fintech specialist and you want to dive in on this problem, please contact me. I've been working with some of the payment processors in the region, but it is a problem to be solved. So please contact me.
And her contact info will be down in the description below.
Yes, definitely.
Ife, once again, I would like to thank you very, very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, for moving some things around to fit me in at this last minute. Since I got to fly back on that bluebird to the not so sunny side of the kingdom.
So every time you're doing a sunny side podcast, it coming up?
Well, not every time, but definitely for that first time,
yeah.
It had to be something special.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that we definitely accomplished it here today.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts for the viewers at home or those listening on their phone, tablets, laptops, TVs? What else we listening to on? Well, since it's audio, you probably could even listen on your watch.
Are you on Metaverse?
Not as yet.
Okay.
I'm like, ooh. I'll have to research.
I know, right?
I know.
Imagine you start doing Metaverse podcast. Guys, if anybody does this and it doesn't exist, it's my idea. No, first and foremost, thank you so much for this honor. I truly appreciate all the amazing things that you're doing, both professionally and personally.
Thank you.
You are doing epic. You are living up to that. And I'm just happy to be a part of it. And for those that are listening, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an innovator, if you are just somebody who wants to make a difference, try to support the entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Really try. It takes a special kind of characteristic to build something from nothing.
Yeah.
And so support them, find a way to support them. If you can't financially, see if you can give them advice if you're a professional.
For sure.
If you have their services and maybe they're not doing it to the best that you would expect, give them the feedback in a constructive way so that they can improve.
The constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism, not the other stuff.
Not the ruffian criticism.
No. Constructive criticism. Support them. Entrepreneurs need the support.
Yeah.
It's spiritually, emotionally, mentally, financially, and physically taxing to be an entrepreneur.
And many times that can be a very lonely journey.
Yeah.
So any support that you can get along the way that also brings along that constructive criticism is always very, very well appreciated.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe in the moment it may seem a bit off because emotions are high when something just totally got screwed up.
Yeah.
But any good entrepreneur will also take the time to reflect and think back on, okay, how can I improve, and take that constructive criticism.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to let people know is that I know it seems like the world is going to hell in a high basket between, for us on the islands, Hurricane Curacao, it was the refinery closing down.
Oh, yeah.
COVID, pandemic, war, all of those things are real. However, it is the moment where superheroes rise and make a difference.
Dun, 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 dun. That might be copyrighted, so I won't continue the rest of it. But with that being said, I think that's a wrap. Thank you very much, Miss Ife Badejo.
Thank you. It's been amazing.
Sunside Kingdom Episode 1 is a wrap. Once again, I would like to thank the DV Hotel in St. Martin for hooking us up with this amazing spot. Definitely got to get some B-roll outside so you guys at home can see what you're missing out here.
And come
so
down
once
whenever
you visit St. Martin, because after this, you definitely will want to. Come and check it out. This is an amazing hotel with a beautiful beach, great food here. I remember having breakfast when we had our mastermind session here. That was amazing. And outside in the cabana, we had a really good session back then. So it's definitely
one of my favorite places
on the island. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it. It's a wrap. Thank you.